On this Easter mission, we have heard in the gospel about the apostles. And Jesus is talking about his forthcoming passion and death. And all they can think about is who is going to be first after Jesus is gone. Who is going to take over? And they're thinking about themselves. And so what Lent does, the church reminds us of prayer, fasting, and abstinence. These practices we have for the Lenten tradition of our church is to free us from self-love and egoism and to follow the example of Christ, who said, I came into the world not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And so what I want to talk about briefly today is the problem of evil. And we find the problem of evil is related by our Lord in the parable of the weeds and the wheat. This is not one of those things we read in the Sunday Gospels, but it's found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. And Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a man who sows wheat in his field. And while everybody's asleep, the enemy comes and sows weeds among the wheat. And when it begins to grow, what happens? The workers come to their master and say, Master, did you plant good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from? And the master says, the enemy has done this. And so what? First of all, the workers are troubled by the presence of the weeds. But then they come up with a solution. They say, well, let's go out and pull out the weeds. And the master says, no. Then pulling out the weeds, you may uproot the wheat as well. Let them grow together until harvest time. Now, what does this mean? This means that evil will be our constant companion during our life on earth. That we should not be, how would you say, discouraged by the presence of evil. That our Lord himself, we see that the master doesn't prevent the enemy from having access to his field. He can come and go as he wishes. And of course, the landowner is not afraid that the enemy can destroy his creation, the weak. And so we learn also from this parable that although evil is our constant companion, that we see that the important thing is to remember that God will give us the grace to persevere. Only at the end of time, you know, when this world ends, will be good and evil separated. The bad will be punished and the good rewarded. It is only the wheat that is taken into the barn. The weeds are to be burned. They have no future. And so we see that the wheat are the sons and daughters of light, and the weeds are the sons and daughters of the evil one. We see that our Lord speaks openly about the action of the devil in the world. That evil is not from God, but it is from other spiritual beings that we call the devil, the evil one. And so our life on earth is a constant struggle between good and evil. During our lives on earth, our faith will always be tested. But we should never be discouraged. And so after this parable of the weeds and the wheat, what do we find? Two short parables that explain why the master is not afraid of the influence of the evil one. It's the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast that is put in the dough. And so our Lord said, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a mustard seed that a man plants in his garden and grows up to be as large as a tree. And what does this mean? It means that we see in the forces of nature, just in a simple seed that is planted day by day, the power of God to transform this into a large bush that the birds of the air can make their nest. If God gives the life-giving power to a small little mustard seed, how much more will God give the power of believing Christians to withstand evil and do good in the world? courage, but what we see in nature is the power of God. How much greater is the grace that God gives to Christians in their life as they struggle against evil? The other parable is about the yeast. It says the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who is making dough and puts yeast into 3 measures of flour and mixes it, and we see the transformation. That a small amount, you take one little pack of yeast. I used to use 5 cups of flour, a little bit of water, half a cup of water. And that one packet of yeast can what? It transforms the dough to be twice as large. The dough rises. But the yeast is what? It's a plant. It has to be given the proper conditions to grow, to transform the flour and water into the dough that makes bread. And so just as the yeast needs the proper conditions for life and growth, the same thing is true of our spiritual life. We have to create those conditions that are going to be conducive to our Christian way of life, like having time for prayer, fasting, reading the scripture. All these things promote spiritual growth, and we have conditions for growth. And if we don't take care of our spiritual life, just like a plant is going to die, it has to be taken care of day by day. And those people that neglect reading scripture, neglect the sacraments, they're not able to grow in the spiritual life. They're kind of like that when I put the hot water in the, you know, with the yeast and the flour, nothing happened. It didn't rise. Because the conditions were right. We have to create those conditions which are conducive to growth. There's one example from history that we can learn what it means to live with faith. Probably everybody who's been educated here in the United States has heard about Harriet Beecher Stowe. When Abraham Lincoln meets Harriet Beecher Stowe, what does he say? Here's the little lady that started a great big war. And she wrote the famous book, Uncle Tom's Cabin. And what did it do? The book transformed the consciousness of our nation. It awakened the people to realize that slavery is a moral evil and that it should not be part of our society. But people have heard of her in the book, but not anybody heard why she was motivated to write it. Harriet Beecher Stowe was living in Cincinnati, Ohio. Her young son, when he was 7 years old, he contracted a fatal disease, probably something like consumption. And this disease was very painful and prolonged. And all she could do was to make as comfortable as she could while she watched him die. And so the death of her young son, what did it do? It made her realize how people felt when their families were destroyed by the institution of slavery. Out of her own experience, she felt her pain. And what did she say to herself? God would not permit this to happen unless a greater good would not come from it. Imagine a woman of faith. Her son dies, and she says to God, God would not let this happen unless a greater good would not come. That's the example of a woman who lives with faith, faith in God, a greater good. So we see how evil in a person's life, the death of her son, can transform her consciousness and help her produce a greater good. This is how evil can transform the lives and bring about something new that was not there before. It can only happen in a human life that lives with faith. Imagine if there was a woman today who would write a book and explain the moral evil of abortion that could awaken the consciousness of our nation. There are some things that only a certain person can do at a certain time in life. that they have an opportunity. And we see this in the example of Harriet Beecher Stowe. A woman with faith was able to transform the world by the experience of the death of her son. You know, it's never easy. I know I had a younger brother. He lived only one day. We were preparing to bring the baby home, and instead we had a funeral. It's never easy to live through the death of a child. And yet we see if a person lives with faith, their faith is tested. But if we have faith, we see that even from something tragic, a greater evil can arise when we look at it with the eyes of our faith. This is what the grace of God can do to transform our lives. But we have to be open to God's grace, and we have to look for the greater grace.